welcome, welcome. Thank you for doing that greeting of each other so mindfully. Did you feel how much the energy shifted in this room? And the reason that I did that, and I know Jill has done this a couple of times too, is that we tend to get in the habit of not paying attention, even though we're saying hello to somebody, even though we're saying good morning and giving a hug or a handshake. A lot of times we can actually cut off our connection by just throwing a hug or throwing a handshake, and doing the namaste and being so mindful is when we really connect. So thank you for doing that. And it's all part of a bigger plan, of course, because of what I'm talking about today and what we've been talking about. We started the Five Steps to Freedom class this past Wednesday on spiritual mind treatment, and it is all about connecting to that energy, that power, and that presence that we affirm every Sunday morning. In my life, God the good, omnipotent, always present, always here. So it's all about connection, and it is all about our remembering, coming back around to the idea that the first unity principle is that God is all there is. And interestingly enough, the first step in spiritual mind treatment is recognizing that God is all there is. We can expand upon that. So let me back up a little bit. If you're not familiar with what spiritual mind treatment is, it is what I call, it's a framework for praying. It gives you some steps. I'll run through them very quickly. The first step is recognition, recognizing that there is a power and a presence, no matter what you call it. We call it God, we call it spirit, we call it universal intelligence. Whatever name you give it, it does not matter. It's just that you center yourself, step one, recognizing that there is something greater than us that created everything, that is present in everything. And the second step is we unify with that. Unification step is recognizing that that presence and that power is in us because, if we do the spiritual logic on this, if God is all there is, that means we are God in expression too. Step two is usually the toughest one for most people, right? Because we've been conditioned of the idea that to say that we might be God or God expressing could probably be a little blasphemous, probably get you kicked out of a few places, right? I'm seeing a lot of heads nodding. So that is a challenge. That's part of the practice when we're in this, is to start affirming, and that's what spiritual mind treatment is. It's affirmative prayer. We're affirming that, yeah, I might be able to stretch my belief about myself a little bit and recognize that the presence of God is in me and through me, expressing as me. The third step is where we, I want to say it's where we put our wish list, but that's not what this is about. It is the realization. If we're praying for somebody else, if we're praying for our own health, if we're praying for a new job or whatever that is, rather than going to the old conditioned way of praying, which a lot of us came up with, which is the begging and the beseeching of God, meaning we are viewing God as outside of us, where we're saying, please God, I need this job, we realize the truth that in the one mind, the one infinite mind, that everything is possible. We recognize the truth that there is that right and perfect job for us. So the prayer would be, in gratitude, I know, I don't wish, I don't hope, I say I know that the right and perfect job is mine now. Or that right and perfect work situation for me, that I am seeking, is seeking me. Because that is really the truth of what's happening. And the last two steps of the spiritual mind treatment are gratitude. And gratitude for knowing that this is the truth. And not only knowing that this is the truth, for example, that perfect job, but knowing that we are aligned with it. That we've opened the channel from all of the chakras, all the way from the bottom to the top, that are aligned with the energy and the resonance of that truth. If you think about the way we pray, or we may have been taught to pray. This is one of those really interesting things. We pray and we pray and we pray and we pray, and we get the answer that we desired. And we're surprised. If we've been praying and praying and praying and aligning our thoughts with it, why are we surprised? Why are we like, oh my God, this is so awesome, this happened, I can't believe it. It's like, well, at some point you probably did believe it was going to happen. That's the idea of affirmative prayer. You believe it before you see it. You believe it before you see it. So of course you're going to be grateful. You're going to be grateful in advance for that demonstration, for the answer to that prayer, for that thing that looks like a miracle. And then the last part of it is you let it go. You let that prayer go into that law, into that infinite substance that knows and only says yes. So we think about this, and we back up into that thing that we do call the law that only says yes. And what we teach, and I know a lot of you have been in the classes here with both Reverend Jill and myself and with some other people that have brought classes to this community, that law that says yes works for everyone no matter what. So if your predominant thinking is, I'm never going to get that job, you're going to get more of not getting that job. Does that make sense? Because the law is saying yes. This is a kind of an argument that, not an argument, a conversation that I've had with several people about this. What is this thing called the law? It doesn't work. It doesn't work because you believe it doesn't work. Kind of a circular kind of an argument. But if you really think about it, the logic behind it is, as Henry Ford says, you either think you can or you think you can't. Either way, you're correct. If you think you can or you think you can't, you're right. So what we do when we're letting go, we're mindful of that. So we are very careful, right, of what we are putting into that law, the words and the feelings behind that. And when we're talking about affirmative prayer, it's affirming the good. It's affirming the thing that we want to see. I had this little aha moment with this morning, and as a practitioner in science of mind, that this is my training, is in spiritual mind treatment. I've been doing this for a while. And yet still, I had an aha moment this morning, and it was the idea of, when we're talking about things like miracles, it's the idea of basically reverse engineering. Because I know we got a lot of very logical thinking people in this community. But if you think about coming from the demonstration, and you think about, I got that perfect job, how do you feel? You're excited, you're grateful. You're like, wow, things are just lining up, life is awesome. So anything else that you would like to see manifest in your life is using that reverse engineering with the feeling and the gratitude and the knowing that it's yours and it's perfect, right? So maybe it's a health diagnosis. Maybe it's a relationship you're trying to shift. You would love to shift. When you go into meditation, which I know every single one of you do every day, right? Religiously. This is the importance. This is one of those moments where it's important that we recognize the importance of meditation. When you go into that space, you can direct your thought. You are affirming the right and perfect thing for yourself. Whatever it might be, whatever that thing that you are going into prayer about. And reverse engineer it. Go into it with the thank you, God, this job. Thank you for this relationship. Thank you for my vibrant health. Thank you for the overflowing bank account. Knowing that it's the energy behind the thoughts. It's not just the thought by themselves. The energy, the emotion behind it is vital to the manifestation. The other part of it, too, is knowing that you are aligning with something that is already the truth. This is the huge step in spiritual mind treatment. That possibility already exists. in the mind of God. It already exists in the truth of God that is infinite intelligence, infinite ideas, infinite supply, always available to us, right? So it's not that we're not creating anything. We are not creating the perfect job for ourselves. We are revealing the perfect job that already exists. Because don't you want that? You may have an idea. We may have an idea. I do. You know, there's certain things when I go into it and I'm like, yeah, I would really love to see this in my life. And I'm going to focus my attention and I'm going to do my affirmations and I'm going to do some denials that, you know, the other stuff can't get in the way. And I'm going to change my consciousness and I'm going to talk to my subconscious and I'm going to do all of these things and I'm going to line myself up to a certain vision that I have that I would like to experience in my life. And when I take the time to look at what's really behind that, and this is what's important as well. Again, this is where meditation helps. What do I really want? Am I going to limit myself to saying I want this job with this particular salary, or am I going to say, you know what, I want to feel fulfilled. Yes, I want to make a kind of living that allows me to do X, Y, and Z. Well, what is X, Y, and Z? Define it. Do you just want to live paycheck to paycheck? Do you just want to get to the end of the month and have all your bills paid and maybe once every 10 years take a vacation? I don't think so. Do you want to have the means to work on an art project and have the little bit of money in the bank when the opportunity to perhaps publish a book comes along? And you say, well, yes, I got this little bit of a bankroll over here. I can take care of the logistics of actually getting it physically published. So you include that in your financial well-being, right? Does that make sense? Nodding heads, yes. So affirming all of the possibilities that are available to us in every given moment. I looked up some studies about what people pray for. I know that at Silent Unity that has been around for 120, anybody got the exact number? Somewhere around 120 years, that there have been people in consistent prayer for 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year for 120 plus years. Those prayer slips in the back, those go off to Silent Unity. Did you know that? Yeah. They were held in prayer there for 30 days for you, whatever you put into that box. So part of what we ask and people pray for, number one, is personal stuff. It's usually health. It's usually a relationship. It's usually something for someone that we're involved with. It might be peace for somebody that's grieving. But the number one thing is we pray for personal problems. The number two thing is we pray for other people. Somewhere, interestingly enough, in the middle of that list is praying for our sports team to win. I'm serious. This is like in the research. Like, really? That's the only time when they did some of these research studies. The people that responded to it, the only time they pray is when their sports team is like in the playoffs or something. Like, what's really curious in that research as well is that we don't tend to pray for things like the end to war or hunger or poverty. We pray a lot. A lot of people pray when there's a natural disaster. But isn't that interesting? We kind of stop with us. But then that's how we are as humans. We're kind of all about us, right? So that was the idea of connecting today that I had you do, was moving beyond the, maybe I'm a little uncomfortable hugging or handshaking or even the namaste. But if you know, if you've been here enough, and welcome to the visitors who maybe haven't, I know that Reverend Jill and I both kind of consistently ask you to stretch, don't we? And I'm grateful that you do. And I'm grateful that you keep coming back to doing that. and to subject yourself. Not really, because what I know is that you're here because there is something that touches you in love. I know that when people visit here for the first time, that's the first comment we get is, oh my God, the love in this place is amazing. We have to let love in. That's why I sang that song. We have to be willing to be vulnerable. We have to be willing to show up perfectly imperfect and all, and see that in everyone we meet, not just in this place, but every person we meet when we go out of here, when we go down the hill, when we get onto the road, when we go to lunch, we go to the gas station, we go to the grocery store. We, because you're here, you are charged with being the love. You are charged with being the love that you know you are, the love of God that is in you, that only thing that is happening in any given time, which is God. To walk out and open your hearts, to let love in, even though it might be a little messy, or somebody's way of expressing it is not quite the way you'd prefer. But to be willing to stand in the truth of knowing, affirming that God is all there is, and it is in us and through us and as us. And I see it in you. I know you've done it. I've seen numerous demonstrations of many of you outside of this community doing that very thing. So thank you for letting love in, for being God. There, I said it. Let's have some meditation. So let's begin this meditation, as we always do, by recognizing our breath, by taking a deep breath in, fully letting it out, fully and moving into that beautiful, soft heart space that Jan so beautifully and gently resonated for us this morning. Recognizing that in itself, that act, Jan was called to bring the heart bowl this morning. We didn't talk about it. We didn't plan it. That is recognizing the presence and action and power of God. So settle into that space. And if it helps to imagine that deep emerald green of the heart chakra radiating, expanding, warming, recognize the power and presence of God in that space. And if there is any thought at all that might be trying to sneak in that says, you're not God, just breathe into it and say, okay. Okay, that's my ego. That's some old thinking, some old mental patterns. And then think about the nature that we're surrounded by just on this hill. I'm not even talking about the hill country. I'm just talking about right here. Everything that is in bloom. The trees, the flowers, the grasses. And think about the sunshine. Think about the clouds, the moisture in the air from the humidity. The weather patterns, the systems, our atmosphere, our universe. The planets that stay in orbit without any of our doing. The constellations that have been there for millennia without any of our doing. If that helps to know that God is all there is. Breathe into that space. And then know that because you are feeling that love and that expansiveness and that infinite possibility in your heart space right now, that the only reason you can and do feel it is because God is there. And simply breathe and affirm. Expressing. And it can be soft and gentle to yourself. It can be excited and grateful to know I am God expressing. Wow, how cool is that? And if I am God expressing, I don't ever really pray to anything outside myself. I'm simply aligning my consciousness, realizing that God is all there is. How powerful and how grateful to know that that power that hung those planets is available in every moment. So breathe deeply. Bring yourself back into this space. And affirm this. Affirm this being, you being that beautiful, unique, perfectly imperfect God expression that you are. Here we go. I am the place where God lives, moves and breathes and has its being. I am the place where God shows up, just like that. I am the place where God lives, moves and breathes and has its being. I am the place where God shows up. I am the place where God lives, moves and breathes and has its being. I am the place where God shows up. I am the place where God lives, moves and breathes and has its being. I am the place where God shows up. Place where God lives, moves and breathes and has its being. I am the place where God shows up. I am the place where God lives, moves and breathes and has its being. I am the place where God shows up. Yes, you are.